This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Well, last week, the U.S. announced that officials will screen immigrants' social media accounts for anti-Semitic content as, quote, grounds for denying immigration benefits request. This announcement coming from the Trump administration in a policy that went into effect on Wednesday. And we've got some questions here about what kind of benefits could be denied or granted, what counts as anti-Semitic content, and whether or not there is legal grounds for this. So we bring in our KMOX legal analyst, Brad Young, partner at Haristal, Fisher and Young. Brad, thank you for joining us today.
Good morning, Amy.
So I guess, could you kind of set the table here with the U.S. scouring social media accounts of people requesting immigration benefits? Because I could see how maybe if you have terrorist activity, that might be an issue. You know, where do you draw the line between foul comments and comments that could be a national security threat?
Boy, that's a huge question. But let's lay the groundwork before we do a deep dive into this. I mean, anyone who's ever watched like your Sounder, Law and Order, you know, knows basic concepts like search and seizure, like can you be searched without a warrant? Those types of general issues. And but here's what's interesting, and this is what a lot of folks don't know, Amy, and that is there's something called the border search exception. That means that within 100 miles of the border, Canadian border, Mexican border, doesn't matter, but within about 100 miles, then there is deference to the government to search without a warrant, without probable cause even, because the idea is that if someone wants to come into this country, then their expectations of privacy are reduced because a government or a country is allowed to enforce its border. So that applies even if you're a citizen. I mean, if you're coming home from a long weekend in the Bahamas, well, maybe not the Bahamas, but in another country, say Kirks and Caicos, and you're coming back into this country, you can be searched even though you're a U.S. citizen. Now, they can't stop you from coming in, but you can be searched without a warrant, and it doesn't require any probable cause.
What would be the purpose of a search in a case like that? I mean, what would you be expecting to find?
Well, like, for example, if you've ever been on a plane coming back, you're always told you can't bring in fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. You can't bring in plants. You can't bring in animals. One time when I was on a mission trip as a kid to Mexico, I caught a tarantula in the desert, okay? And I hid it in my suitcase. I know I'm confessing to a crime, but the statute of limitations has expired. But and I brought it into this country, and I kept the I kept the tarantula for about a year and until it died. But here's my point: that was a violation of law. They could have at the border. They could have searched my suitcase to say, you know, this Brad Young guy, he looks like somebody that'd be carrying a tarantula. All right, it doesn't require any probable cause. It doesn't require a warrant. But that's the concept. Now, when you take it to the next level, Amy and Chris, as you just referenced in setting up the segment, and that is, where does it go in terms of searching social media posts? And that is a question I haven't found an answer to. But here's what I think would happen. Because the main elements of the Fourth Amendment have been reduced or relaxed when someone is coming into this country, I think the same would be true when it applies to social media posts regarding whether they might be a terrorist threat. Now, here's where the real issue comes. And let's make up a hypothetical. Let's say that someone is at the border, they're asking for immigration status, and they have social media that supports Hamas, but yet doesn't make any actual specific threats of terrorism. Just, I think I support the Palestinians. I support their right to their own state, and I support them in their struggle against Israel. Let's just assume hypothetically that is the postings on social media. The question of what can be done with that is a great question, because that doesn't rise to the level under Brandenburg versus Ohio, where the Supreme Court said you have to have specific threats of violence against a specific individual or group, specific threats of violence, not just generalized hate speech. That hypothetical that I set up wouldn't seem to meet that criteria, but because it's at the border, does it have to meet that criteria because there is relaxed standards at the border in favor of government action? So that would be a fantastic law school exam question. So one could analyze both sides of that issue.
Brad, does it matter what side of the border you're on? Meaning, let's say there are two people, Bob and Joe. Bob has a green card. And he posts on social media, pro Hamas, October 7th, gross stuff, right? Just he's pro. Joe doesn't have a green card yet, doesn't have a student visa, but he wants one. And he's posted the same exact pro Hamas. Does Bob have more rights than Joe because Bob is already here with a green card?
Yes. And that is a very clear answer to that, because green card status, when you're a permanent resident, you're one step away from being a U.S. citizen. And so at that point, the requirements to deport someone who has a green card are very, very high and very stringent, because you are like, my wife used to say when we were driving home from vacation, I would drive 2,000 miles home from vacation. And when we were about six blocks from home, she would say, honey, do you want me to drive the rest of the way home? Okay. You're like that situation with a green card. Mm-hmm. You've driven that 2,000 miles and you're like six blocks from home. So you do have a heightened degree of rights and benefits under this country when you're a green card status. But if someone is simply applying for green card status, there are almost no requirements in terms of if the government wants to deny you citizenship or even green card status because of posts that may be hate speech or deemed to be anti-Semitic or anything, anti-black, anti-white, anti-anything, that status is lower. And so the protection afforded that status is equally lower.
I'm interested in the case of the guy from Maryland who was deported to El Salvador, is in the prison. The Supreme Court ruled that they have to facilitate, or the government has to facilitate, getting him back. The administration is saying they don't have to do that. What will end up being the result of all of that?
Well, Chris, I actually read the decision that the Supreme Court issued, and this and the court went to great lengths to say, and there's a good reason for this, that the court cannot dictate the foreign policy of the executive branch of government. That gets into the whole classic issue of separation of powers, right? So the judicial branch is not in charge of foreign policy and cannot order foreign policy elements to the executive branch. That's why the word facilitate was used. I promise you that clerks spent hours coming up with the right word to use because they couldn't order the Trump administration to do it because that would be dictating foreign policy. So they said they have to facilitate it. But let's go back to the root issue here. The root issue is that everyone, whether you are here legally or illegally, whether you're a drug smuggler or whether you, you know, your grandma just immigrated here from Central Asia, it doesn't matter. Everyone is entitled under our Constitution to due process. And what due process means, it's a fancy word or fancy two words that essentially means the government has to have a court hearing before it deprives you of life, liberty, or property. And so this demonstrates the flaw in that Enemy and Aliens Act of 1798 that does not require due process. That's why when the court, when the Supreme Court denied the temporary or removed the temporary restraining order against the Trump administration, the court also said, you cannot deport anyone without due process, and they have to follow up in their state where they're being held, which in this instance was Texas. So I know there's a lot of details here. It's complex. But the bottom line, when you put all this in a blender, the bottom line is twofold. Number one, you have to have due process before you kick somebody out of the country. And number two, if you kick somebody out wrongly, like is apparently it was done by the Trump administration, then although the court can't force you to bring them home, the court can say you have to take a lot of steps and efforts to try to get that person home, but they're dancing up to the edge of violating that separation of powers issue.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous, but I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In a separate case, there was the Tufts University student that was detained, and people have probably seen the video of agents who were not in, you know, they were in street clothes coming up to her on the street and arresting her. And she had written an op-ed in a school paper, I think it was last year probably, that she had done that. But the State Department said they didn't have any real evidence that she was linked to terrorism or anti-Semitism, but they're trying to deport her. So what happens in a case like that?
Well, the key phrase that you mentioned, Chris, is trying to deport her. And so what that means is there has to be a hearing before she can be deported. Unlike the Aliens and Enemies Act of 1798, technically doesn't require a hearing. That's why it was used. It's really only being used previously during wartime, because you don't have time to decide whether someone is an enemy combatant or not. You just have to act because you're in a time of war. So that's why I've said consistently that if this goes to the Supreme Court, the issue is going to be, what does an invasion, what does that word mean, and what status or what facts have to be there to support the idea of an invasion? But let's get to your question. The question is, what has to happen? Now, if this Tufts University student does have a green card, then effectively it's going to have the same effect as if she were a U.S. citizen. So there the same laws are going to apply in terms of, did she commit a crime? Yes or no? If you just post something that's pro-Hamas hate speech, which we could all agree is hate speech, it's reprehensible, it's awful, but yet it's not illegal, then if she has green card status, it's going to be very, very difficult to deport her. If she doesn't have green card status, then there is more flexibility by the U.S. government to say, we allowed you into this country voluntarily, and now we're revoking that privilege for you to be here because of your actions and because of your social media postings.
Hey, Brad, I'm confused, to be honest. Like, when I hear of all of these different cases, is it fair to say that most people involved in all of these separate individual cases are also confused, and you can't predict what's going to happen from one case to the next? Because I feel like, well, is it this act? Is it that act? Is it this rule? Does this count as a bad post? I feel like uncertainty is the name of the game here.
Well, there is some uncertainty, but I think where there is certainty, and you're going to see this, it takes a lot of court cases to develop a sense of continuity for districts. One district might rule one way, another district might rule another way. But I think when you get enough of these court cases, Amy, you're going to see it congeal around this idea. Number one, is it at the border or is it not at the border? Because if it's at the border, all your Fourth Amendment rights are somewhat relaxed. And secondly, what is the person, the focus, the person of interest here, what's their status here in this country? If it's green status or if they are a U.S. citizen, ability to deport them is going to be slim to none. And then if they're on a lower status than a green card, then the ability for the government goes up to deport these individuals because they have less protections under the First Amendment.
Brad Young, legal analyst for KMOX, partner at Harris Dowell Fisher & Young. As always, we appreciate it. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.